Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay.
Hey Ken, greetings to you and everyone. You're a little low, Ken, maybe a little higher.
Yeah, it should be good now, I think. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. I also want to thank our guest engineer today, Frank. He's pinch hitting for our good friend Patrick. Unfortunately, Patrick's in the hospital, hopes to get out tomorrow, but I'd ask you to keep Patrick in your prayers that he recovers and gets back to regular duty real soon. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Reminder that our shrine to the Venerable Matt Talbot is open in St. Gabriel Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. You can visit us on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock. If you're going to come down and visit the shrine and St. Gabriel Church, be sure to get in touch with us ahead of time. And Father and I can arrange to meet you over in church and give you a little tour and talk a little bit about Matt Talbot. All right. Before we get go any further, how about if we begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
All the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
And how about if we say the Golden Hail Mary for Patrick? I know he's listening. And for all those, Ken, who are sick and suffering. And thanksgiving for Frank coming in, picking up Maureen. You realize when nobody's there that we're not on the air, you know. Yeah. People in the background. But for Patrick to get well, come back home, back to his mission work. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mother of us all,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Especially once your calls, when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And I got a funny thing that came out of the retreat last weekend about this, but in addition to a couple of odd or God situations. But yeah, give us a call. We'll give out the numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. I forgot to say happy Easter at the beginning of the show. We are still in the Easter season, and this being the fifth week of Easter. And I got two saints and a feast day this week. On Tuesday the 9th, yesterday, was St. John of Avila. Today, Wednesday the 10th, is St. Damien of Molokai. And on Saturday the 13th, we'll celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So we thought we would start today with St. Damien. And he was born Joseph de Wooster. He was born in Belgium in 1840. And back then, folks in Europe didn't really have any firsthand knowledge of leprosy. But because of St. Damien, many, many people would become aware of it and what it was and really the impact it had on people's lives. He was forced to quit school at the age of 13 to work on the family farm, but somehow or other managed to enter the Congregation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary at the age of 19. And he would take the name Damien, who was a 4th century physician and martyr. His brother was supposed to go to the Virgin Islands, to the Hawaiian Islands, but fell ill. And Damien volunteered to take his place. So in May of 1864, Damien's now in Hawaii, and he would be ordained a priest in Honolulu. In 1873, he went to the Hawaiian government. So this is long, long, long before Hawaii becomes a state. They would go to the Hawaiian government went to the leper colony on the island of Molokai. And part of a team of 4 chaplains. So up until Damien, there would be 4 different chaplains that would rotate every 3 months in the leper colony. Once Damien got there, he volunteered to stay there permanently, and he would take care of the people physically, medically, and spiritually. And he also became a great advocate for those people. There's a great movie about what he had done to help those people in Molokai and get government support that would eventually lead to houses and a new church, a school, and an orphanage. And so the morale of the folks in the leper colony, that area of Molokai, really improved. And then he was able to get a Franciscan sister, Mother Marianne Cope, would help to staff the colony there in Kalapapa. Damien himself would eventually contract Hansen's disease, or leprosy, and would die of its complications. He was originally buried there in the colony, but in 1936, the Belgian government succeeded in getting his body moved back to Belgium. Then part of his body was returned to Hawaii after his beatification in 1995. So when Hawaii became a state in 1959, this is a great trivia question. Apparently each state would have 2 representatives in the statuary hall at the U.S. Capitol. So when Hawaii became a state, they actually selected Damien as one of their representatives. So I've not been in the U.S. Capitol. If I get there, I'll have to look for Damien. But he was eventually canonized by Pope Benedict XVI on October the 11th, 2009, and we celebrate his feast day on May the 10th each year. And I'm not quite sure why. He was born on January 3rd, 1840, died on April 15th, 1889. But his feast day is celebrated on the 10th of May. Father?
Yeah. He's always been an inspiration to me, Ken, Father Damien, St. Damien. And, you know, when he went to that colony, he didn't have much assistance at all, you know. He would ask the government for money, and the government would say, well, you get money from the church. He asked the church for money, well, you get money from the government. And he was always, you know, fighting for the lepers, you know. He really stood up for them. He was a shepherd, a good shepherd to the lepers. They didn't have anyone, you know. But Damien was there just to take care of them. He was so skillful with his hands. He put aqueducts in. He made hospital benches, beds, and caskets, Ken, you know. He took a great pride in burying the dead, which is a corporal work of mercy, right, you know, to bury the dead. We forget that. And I was thinking about what we did on Good Shepherd Sunday, where we dedicated our Good Shepherd statue at St. Peter and Paul. We had the mass and pouring rain, and we went out. We had the plots to bless, and that we hold 40 urns. So far, we have three people, three bodies that are buried there. The three people are with God. Their spirits are with God. But, you know, even like the Book of Tobit, you know, the Jewish people, the Israelites, it was always important for them to bury their dead. And Tobit at the time in Nineveh and the king there, you know, they would just throw the bodies of the Israelites out. And Tobit, he would go and find the bodies, and he would give them proper burials. And then also he was stealing the bodies. You know, the king wanted the bodies, and he found out it was Tobit that was doing it, and he was out to kill Tobit. So Tobit took off with his wife and kid, Tobiah, and he lost everything. He lost all his land was confiscated, you know, all of his possessions, but that was all for the sacredness of burying the bodies. And we forget the sacredness of the bodies. You see, my body is an expression of my soul. I'm communicating to all these people in the radio through my body, my lips, my mind, you know, but it's my spirits, my intellect, my will, and my memory that's animating my body, that my body can communicate. But once we die, there's a separation of our bodies. But also, my body is an expression of my soul. It's so unique, and it will be reunited one day with my spirit, you know, the glorification. You know, we pray that in the creed, that I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And yet today there's so many abuses with, you know, people who are her dying and ashes. I heard one lady had a 5-gallon can of paint. She put her husband's ashes in the paint and painted her seal and had a popcorn ceiling. You know, these kind of abuses or the ashes are thrown out. You know, they're sacred. To be buried in cemeteries is like being buried in church, in consecrated ground, and waiting for that resurrection. You know, I want my miraculous medal on me, my rosary, you know, when I come out, when my body comes out of the grave, to be united once again with me, with my spirit. But the bodies are so precious. And, you know, Father Damien realized that. You know, and the leopards, you know, they suffer so much. I mean, they had holes in their faces, and they smelled, there was a stench to them. But when they died, he wanted to make their caskets, and he wanted to give them a proper burial. It was like the graduation ceremony for them, beautiful mass. He would have a procession to the cemetery, and there would bury the dead at the cemetery. And that's what we do, Ken. You know, we got our cemetery, and anybody dies and can't afford it, that we want the ashes, and we will bury them because of that sacredness of the body, and the Lord provides for it all. But Father Damien, you know, St. Damien inspires me so much because, you know, he worked with leopards as a shepherd. And here what we're doing, our work here is really another form of leprosy, which really, it eats up the body now, right, when you talk about the strength, you know, the breaking out with sores and all, just like leopard sores. And yet, to me, drug addiction, alcoholism, it's a form of leprosy, and it hits the soul and everything. That our brothers and sisters suffering with this terminal disease in most cases, you know, they're hurting so much, and it's like they're paralyzed. And it's like the people who are not paralyzed to pray, where we offer masses for everyone. We pray for them, and, you know, we counsel them. We, like yourself, Ken, you were on a beautiful retreat talking to most people that were in recovery to give them the hope and God's mercy, go back to confession, back to communion, to restore ourselves in that innocence with grace. So I get all this out of St. Damien because he worked with the leopards, and I see grace very like Kensington, leper colonies, but the leprosy is addictions, drug addiction, alcoholism. They're disease, and it's an awful disease, you know, bankruptcy in body, mind, and soul, you know, spirit, everything. Physically bankrupt, morally bankrupt, emotionally bankrupt, mentally bankrupt. I mean, to me, when I look at this terrible disease, it's the least of the least. It's the poorest of the poor. It's the neediest of the neediest. And this is our mission, Ken. This is the work that we do for people who are suffering so much, to bring Jesus Christ to them, who is the physician, the doctor of mind, body, and soul, who brings the healing graces to our brothers and sisters. And boy, do we have a lot of Mara miracles, right, Ken?
Amen.
So many people are doing so well. You know, they come to our Calyx meetings and all meetings and actually doing 12-step work, getting out there and showing everyone that there's hope and that Jesus Christ can heal alcoholism and drug addiction as well as he can heal the common cold if we just give him permission and come to him and believe in him and those healing graces and that transforming love of his in those sacraments, especially in that little white host. To me, that's the real medicine. It's the remedy, you know. It just comes to mind with St. Monica, who was an alcoholic, and her son, St. Augustine, said, "My mother had a disease, alcoholism. 1,600 years ago, he called alcoholism a disease. And he said there was no remedy for it except the medicine of God." There it is. The medicine of God is in that little white host. That's the remedy. That's the healing graces. That's Jesus himself. It's the divine physician. Just wants to wrap his arms around us and heal us. Bring us closer to him in that transforming love of his, Ken. But yeah, Father Damien, he just really inspired me in so many wonderful, beautiful ways. And he was kind of like by himself there on that island. And, you know, then he had the brother and had the sister and others would come and help. And here's a man that, you know, it was like he couldn't go back into society. And he couldn't even have his confession heard. And he would go out on a boat to the ship to a priest and shout out his sins, you know, in the boat where everybody listening. And there he would get his absolution, you know. But he was so cut off from society and isolated, but he was one with the lepers, got leprosy himself, just like the good shepherd, you know. He looked like his sheep. He smelled like his sheep. He died like one of his sheep, just like Jesus, the good shepherd, comes after us. He looks like us. He smells like us. He walks in our dung. You know, and he saves us from the evil, the sicknesses, the sinfulness, and brings us into those greener pastures beside restful waters, Ken, where our cups overflow.
Amen.
But yeah, Father Damien, what an inspiration to our ministry and especially to me.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to, before we carry on our conversation further with about Damien, let's go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hold on. Alexa, mute. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Ken?
How are you, brother?
Hello. And Father Doug, how you doing?
Hey, Frank. Hey, Frank, I heard you on the radio last
something
Friday.
Something great happened to me this morning. I wanted to share with you and your listening audience there. Neighbor picked me up from Planet Fitness at the Mayfair Center, and she's in the same shopping center. She's running some errands. I'm sitting in the car. The man and woman is talking. I hear about recovery, so I'm listening. And I thought they were done. I heard the door open up. I said, congratulations. Lady says, mind your own business. Okay, fine. But I don't think she heard me. I said, I got 3 years. She says, what's that? I said, 3 years from when? I said, March 21st. Oh, she's gone 3 years this month. She lost her son, her husband, got them both back. She's doing great. I want people to know it can be bad. It happens to all of us at one time or another. But you can't get things back, and she's doing great. So if you're doing real bad out there, if you lost your husband, your kids, whatever, your wife, Clean yourself up. With time, you're probably going to get it back. And other things, too. I just want to share that with you guys and your audience.
Nah, I appreciate it, Frank. You sound great, brother. And well, they say, right, you get into recovery, and it's like playing a Western song backwards. You get the dog back, the wife back, the kids back.
I heard that back in 2011 when I first started going around to AA, yeah. Everything you lost, you get back, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I think something happened about an hour ago, really bothered me real bad. I called Captain Lou. He gave me a couple of minutes, more than a couple of minutes. And I was angry, but I didn't think about drinking over it. And I get frustrated at times, but I'm still sober. Thanks to Father Doug, Ken, Captain Lou, and many other people who paved the way for me. And anyone listening out there, no one ever got better by doing the same thing. It only gets worse and worse and worse, and you lose more and more until you die or end up in prison. That's it. That's great.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it, Father Doug and Ken. Keep doing what you do every day.
All right, you
I
too, brother,
it.
And appreciate your witness. And it truly is a testament to the power God has to relieve us of the, you know, whatever it is that afflicts us, as long as we, you know, allow him to. But you know, I say it every time you call, Frank. You sound great, brother, compared to a number of years ago when we would talk on the phone. So keep doing whatever it is you're doing. Keep in touch with Captain Lou. And keep calling us.
I have to.
Yeah.
He keeps me grounded. He's a great guy.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.
All right, have appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Hey, thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Fire Doug.
Yeah, you're a great guy.
Yeah. You know,
what a change in him, though, Ken.
Oh, absolutely.
The gentleness, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's touching hearts, you know. It's just remarkable. And his testimonies, you know, each week, the courage he has to call in. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and, you know, I was looking at the missal and the you look at the collect from today's Mass for St. Damian, and I just thought I would share it. It says, Father of Mercy, who gave us in St. Damian a shining witness of love for the poorest, the most abandoned, grant that by his intercession, as faithful witnesses of the heart of your Son Jesus, we too may be servants of the most needy and rejected. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And I read that, and it's like just what you said. This is what we're up against. This is what we face day in and day out. It's not lepers, but addiction. But, you know, a lot of these folks, unfortunately, they are the poorest and most abandoned, especially abandoned. They're not completely abandoned, but certainly abandoned by institutions, by the government, by a majority of the church. You know, you got some organizations out there like Calix and Catholics in Recovery and what have you, and you got some individual priests and lay people that are doing the best they can. But for the most part, those that struggle with addiction are treated not a whole lot differently than the lepers were. And so, you know, but to be in the throes of it and being able to, you know, see how low people can get and then to be able to talk to them. And sometimes it's just the simplest gestures. You know, I ran into my friend Anthony on the 34th Street exit on Monday, yesterday. That was Monday morning, I guess, and then, or Tuesday morning. Monday afternoon, I met another guy, Joe, who's over by the on-ramp at University of Pennsylvania off of South Street there. And something as simple as, you know, asking them what their names are. You know, these are the ones that are the poorest and the most abandoned, and something as simple as, hey, what's your name? And on South Street there, it was Joe, and I said, oh, I'm Ken. I said, you know what, I'll say a prayer for you. Do me a favor, say one for me. And he got a big smile on his face, and it's like, I can do that. And, you know, something as simple as that, you never know where that's going to lead. I may or may never see the guy again, but the smallest of things that we do are great. We talked a little bit about it on the retreat over the weekend because a number of the women were in Al-Anon and, you know, worried about enabling people and that type of thing. And the one woman has a son that's out there, and he was saying that, you know, one of the things that's often hard to come by is, you know, clean water, good water. And I hadn't thought about it. I didn't start carrying water in my car yet, but this guy Joe on South Street, after we interacted for a minute, I looked in my rearview mirror as he made his way to the car behind me, and sure enough, the guy behind me pulls out a bottle of water and gives it to him.
Mm.
And, you know, it's amazing to see the good in people because, you know, so often all we hear about is the bad stuff. But there's so many people that are out there doing good and fighting in the trenches, doing whatever they can to help people in some of the most basic ways, you know, food, water, a place to sleep, you know, whatever it is, until we can find a way to convince them that there is a better way of life without drugs or alcohol or whatever it is that they might be addicted to. But that's why I keep fighting that good fight. God lets us see just enough miracles to know that it's possible, right?
Yeah, Ken. You just made me think. It was like a confirmation, giving a bottle of water to those who are you know, under the throes of addiction. Like what Jesus said, give a cup of water in my name and you give it to me. And the confirmation was that I really believe that they are the sickest of the sick, the poorest of the poor, the neediest of the needy. And what Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. And that's what we see in our house ministries. We see our Christ, our Jesus, suffering in our brothers and sisters with this terrible disease. And whatever we do for them, we do for Jesus. And I shared that the other night, Ken, when someone said, when did you start the work? You know, and it goes back to when I was 8 years old, when my mother gave me platters to bring across the street to those who were called the winos. And I had to wait for the china. I would bring a couple of the L&M's cigarettes to them. And I had to wait for the fork to get back and the cup. And there was something that attracted me to them. I enjoyed their company, and they seemed to enjoy my company. But one particular guy, Bucky, you know, I always remember looking in his eyes and looking at me. And that later on in life, it was, yeah, it wasn't something that attracted me. It was the suffering Jesus in them that attracted me. And he does. He lives in each and every one of our hearts. And he cries out, help me, help me. So they give a cup of water, a bottle of water, like you said. I didn't even think of that, Ken. A bottle of water to them. It's like giving it to Jesus himself, the least of his brethren. Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me.
Amen. And that's what keeps us going. You know, that you've mentioned a few times recently about the commandments, and there's more than just the 10 that Yahweh gave to Moses back in the Old Testament. And the closer you read Scripture, the more you see those commandments. And, you know, it's when we fulfill them in Christ's name that we get these little bursts of joy and the little gifts that and consolations that God wants to provide us. I want to give out the phone numbers one more time. We're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes here. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. You have a final word on St. Damien before we go to the break, Father?
No, the final word that I would like to say, though, is what you were just saying there. You know, when the ship in the Navy, when there was something important, you would hear, now here it is, now here it is, and everybody would stop and listen. And God the Father is like, you know, when he says, listen to him, or Mother Mary saying, do what he tells you. It's like, now hear this. This is important. And to listen to what Jesus is saying. But it's more. It's more than Ten Commandments, Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's everything he tells us. They're not suggestions. They're commandments. And I was thinking of the one when you were just saying that. It was like, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. You know, it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And yet people say, oh, I can never be perfect. I can. Of course not. You know, but in him I can. We underestimate grace, Ken. Reason why we have too few saints. Remarkable resistance to grace. If he's asking me to be perfect and holy, then he's calling me to his heart, to be one with him, to be at his right hand, to be one mind, one spirit. And he will give me the grace. We're all called to be saints, you know, to have that joy, to touch that joy. We weren't baptized in pickle juice. You know, and that joy is to unite us to Jesus, that peace, that love. So now hear this, now hear this. He's always given us commandments, not suggestions, that we can follow him more closely. Turn away from sin. Be faithful to the gospel, you know. Not a suggestion. Do it. Do it. And he'll reveal himself to us. And we'll know that grace. And we'll know the truth that will set us free to be like our God, because we're made in his image and likeness. So, that's my final word, Ken.
Amen. And that takes us to the bottom of the hour. Again, when we come back from the break, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. But we need to have your phone calls in order to make a go of it. So give us a call if God's touched you in a particular way in the recent past. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. And we haven't gotten a phone call yet, so we'll run through the Calyx calendar and see if we get any calls here. If you haven't checked out our website here at inhissign.com, go ahead and check it out. If you miss one of our shows, any of the shows, Monday through Friday, you can go out to inhissign.com, click on content, and then podcasts. And you should be able to get the recordings there, usually posted on Thursday or Friday of each week. Father McKay and I are part of the Calyx Society, an organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, we are over in St. Gabriel Church for a holy hour from 6 to 7 p.m., followed by Mass at 7, and that'll actually be next Tuesday, the 16th. We'll have a guest celebrant and Father John Wackerman. We should have some musicians with us next week, so if you've not been down, try to make an effort again next Tuesday, 6 o'clock, St. Gabriel Church, 29th and Dickinson. We also have a Calyx unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on May the 18th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then a Calyx meeting afterwards. That will be this coming Saturday, May the 13th. The unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and we'll be at St. Luke's on Saturday, May the 20th. And the last one for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. They meet on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they'll get together on Saturday, May the 27th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets every Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. at St. Matthew's. They gather at 6:15 for Mass and then a Calyx meeting afterwards. And my guest in the 5 o'clock hour is going to be Dr. Daniel Mahoney, and we're going to be talking about a book entitled Memoirs, written by Joseph Cardinal Mezzenti. A cardinal that spent a lot of time in captivity during the communist reign in Hungary. So it's going to be a great conversation if you can stick around for it in the 5 o'clock hour. All right.
We also at Media at the 5 o'clock Mass, Ken?
Yeah.
right before the Calyx meeting. It'd be the crowning of the Blessed Mother after communion. So the Blessed Mother would be crowned. We'd have some first communicants. It'd be a hymn to Mary, and what a day, day of Fatima, May 13th.
Amen.
So yeah, that'll be great.
Very good.
And okay, where were you going? Okay.
I think I got our engineer on the line here.
Oh.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
What's up, brother?
Not much. How are you?
All right. You know, you can get on the line on the other side of the glass. You don't have to go into the hospital in order to call us. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. Two quick honor guys. One, I didn't really know much about Father Damien until I met Father Doug. And then I had the opportunity when we were down the shore last year to watch the movie. And what an awesome, really incredible old movie to see the story of a real saint in action.
Yeah, man.
Malachi.
Yeah, Father told me about the same thing. I watched it. I think I watched it when I had COVID.
Really?
Yeah, last year.
We were there getting ready to do Mass at Keenan's the next day.
Yeah.
But, and then the other one, as far as, like, I learned from you guys, when I see, like, I had my guy at Dunkin' Donuts, and now his name's Celine. And I see him every morning, and usually I have an opportunity, you know, to have a few words with him. And then Father Doug, I happened to be behind him a couple weeks ago going over to Wawa, and there's a kid over there named Teddy. And what a, like, peaceful, kind people these guys are. And it's just a shame that, you know, they're left out there to be like lepers.
Yeah, absolutely. It kills you, and you pull away, and you know that there's a solution.
Right.
And you just can't get them on board yet. We don't know when that, hopefully that moment of sanity will come, and, you know, they'll finally get fed up enough and say enough's enough and really seek the help that they need. But until then, we just keep praying for them.
Amen. They both have our cards.
Right? Yeah. There you go. So, how you feeling, pal?
I feel good. Better.
All right. All right. Well, we miss you. We look forward to seeing you again real soon, back on the ranch.
All right. Enjoy your vacation.
Yeah. All right, Patrick. Thanks for the call.
Hi. Have a good day.
Yep. You too. You really, really, you don't have to be in the hospital to call us. I shared last night, I think I had four otter gods in the last couple of weeks, and I got to witness two different people, one on Friday, one on Saturday, that came back to the sacraments and went to communion. One that was, I think, over 30 years since he had last been to Holy Communion, and the other was a woman who, she'd been to communion over the years, but it was the first time she said that she'd actually gone to confession and didn't feel like a hypocrite going to communion in, I think it was 25 years. So, and I shared it, this morning, that I think the miracles are happening. Times are getting tougher and people are trying to make sense of all the craziness around us. And I think some of them are actually trying to get back to the faith, because it's the only place that it makes sense when you read scripture and you listen to what Jesus had said and the various epistles and what have you. We're just watching it unfold right before our eyes. And I think in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about this Cardinal Mindszenty and what he was up against in Hungary during World War II. And it's not a whole lot different than what we're seeing right now. So, stick around for that. But that was two of them. And then the other one, for those that were with us last Wednesday, I had an author on the line, Marlene Watkins, and she had written a book called Everyday Miracles at Lourdes. And that was the result of a foundation that she started of volunteers that go over to help people that go to Lourdes basically looking for a miracle. And they go over and, you know, they can be hooked up on medical equipment while they're flying. They may not they be disabled and they need to be need help with their wheelchairs or, you know, whatever it is that they need. And she organizes these volunteers to meet them in Lourdes and get them to the water and what have you. And she just happened to come on. And before I introduced her, she was listening and heard me mention the retreat that I was going to be directing this past weekend for the women. And when she came on the air, she said that she would overnight me water from Lourdes. And, you know, I even went so far on the air to say, oh, I'm going to hold you to it. And my listeners heard you. Well, sure enough, I get out to the retreat house on Friday and there was a box of little bottles of water from Lourdes there waiting for me. I was in touch with a couple of people from the organization to see if they had a some kind of liturgy or prayer service or something that would go along with it, and they did. They call it the water gesture, and they sent me a couple different variations of it, which I cobbled together to make my own. And the odder God too is that we have at Malvern a grotto for Our Lady of Lourdes, and with the running water there, it's almost just like being there. And so Saturday afternoon on the retreat, I surprised the ladies, and they all got a little bottle of Lourdes water, and we went down and we did what they call the water gesture. So the Blessed Mother at Lourdes had told Bernadette to dig in the mud, and when she gets to the water, to drink it and wash with it. And that's what we did. We drank a little bit. We washed with it. We said some prayers to go along with it. And then the one variation, because almost everybody there was in a 12-step program, we then did the third step prayer like we do on my men's weekend in August. And each person individually would do the third step prayer. And the rest of us would get to witness that. And it has such a power to it. It's just incredible. And last but not least, and this is really for folks that are worried about their kids that are away from the church. And, you know, despite all the good that we do, we can even be daily communicants. We can be giving great examples. But for whatever reason, our kids may not be going to Mass each week. And we never know how God's going to get them back. But somehow or other, he does. And I got a 25-year-old son with a sports management degree. He loves sports. He landed a great internship with a Villanova football program right down the street through the help of my good friend Joe Trainer, who's here on Mondays. But he just couldn't land a paying job after that. Ended up doing something he really despises. My wife, Susan, was working at Holy Rosary Regional School up in Bluebell. And unfortunately, there was a teacher that was pretty ill, and they needed a substitute. And Michael started to substitute teach. And after doing it for, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 times, he found that he really liked it. He got along great with some of the kids, and even some kids that had struggled to communicate with other teachers. And lo and behold, he starts working full-time for Holy Rosary Regional School teaching 7th grade on Monday. And if you had told me even 3 months ago that my son would be teaching in a Catholic school, I'd have said no way. But with God, you never know. And if you aren't open to it and you don't watch for it, you may not see it. But when God decides he wants something, he'll bring down all the barricades, all the obstacles that we put in front of it. And you know, there was away, you know, with the retreat group on over the weekend, and come home on Sunday, and you know, my son's asking me for our pastor's email address because he saw him at Mass the night before, and needs to, you know, send him a reminder about a letter he needs. And it just all falls into place. We just need to get out of the way. God will somehow or other work those miracles. And so is that odd or is that God? And I just want to say, over the weekend, sometimes I think people are familiar with it because we talk about it all the time. And a lot of times, instead of saying, is that odd or is that God, we'll just say, odd or God. And one of the women on Saturday on a retreat says, are you saying otter God, like the otter, the animal? And I was, no, it's odd or God. And they all got a pretty good chuckle out of it. So, yeah, we're not talking about the little varmint that runs around in the banks of the rivers. It's odd or God.
Odd or God.
Yeah. How about you, Father?
Yeah, I was thinking about what you said, Ken. You know, where you hear it's so common, parents are so concerned about their children stop going to church and not going to mass anymore. They're paralyzed through the influences of the world, the social media, the confusion, the moral confusion, the theological confusion. And yet, the parents take heart. You know, you think of Monica praying for her son Augustine, becomes one of the greatest saints in the church. You know, and it's the prayers of the mothers and fathers and the prayers of the faithful. You know, we do those petitions on Sundays. God hears all those prayers because sometimes our loved ones are paralyzed. And I often think of that, you know, how the Lord healed the paralytic on the four men that carried him, looking up at the roof, and the paralytic, you know. So I think of addicts and everything were paralyzed, but the prayers of the faithful, the prayers of the church, the prayers of mothers and fathers and relatives and friends, the Lord hears those prayers and will apply those graces. And I was even thinking of you, Ken, when you were talking about your son, but look at your life, right, where you came from. If somebody said, hey, Ken, when you were out there, you're going to be doing a radio program, you probably buy them another beer, right?
Absolutely. And have a good laugh.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. You're right, the grace of God. I just had one or odd or God, and it was a dime story again. It's always like the Lord's dropping dimes on me, you know. Let me know he's with me. And I was doing my laundry. I had a big laundry to do, and I always go through my pockets inside out, you know, and wash my clothes, put them in the dryer. Now I'm taking my clothes out of the dryer, and it's always like a plop. Here comes a dime, plop. And, you know, being sick and all, and just hearing the Lord say, you know, I'm doing something with this, Douglas. I got your back. I I'm with you always. And like the dime, you just that little sign, that otter God gives you the assurance that the Lord is always with us. So that was my otter God. But I just also wanted to say, Ken, when you at the end you said, if I had a last word on Father Damien, and Patrick mentioned Father Damien, and I thought about that. And, you know, my last word with Father Damien was, on that island, pretty much like alone, you know, he didn't have people around him to support him, like a priest. He couldn't go to a priest to confession, whatever. But he had the Blessed Sacrament. He had his rosary. He had his breviary. He made visits to the Blessed Sacrament. He had his mass. He had Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And there it was, you know, all these means. Sometimes we feel like I'm alone. And Venerable Matt Talbot said, how can anybody be alone with Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament? And that's where all the blessings flow. And when we feel alone, it's probably because Jesus wants us alone with himself. You know, but I always saw, you know, that movie, that Malachi, that you always saw him praying the rosary, reading his breviary, you know, in chapel, crying out to God. You know, you could see where, you know, the cry of the poor, you know, the Lord hears the cry of the poor, all the stuff he was going through. The Mass, you know, how reverently he would celebrate the Mass. But, yeah, that would be my last word, the means that all the saints have are the same means that we have, our rosary, our scriptures, our sacraments, our tabernacle, our Mass. You know, we got everything that they have. So we shouldn't complain, because if we don't become saints, blame no one else but ourselves, because God gives us all the means, and it's our calling. And he gives us the grace to be holy, to be perfect, to be saints. You know, I don't know why, Ken, but you say the word saint, and it sounds like a long face or people wearing black. You know, I don't want that. You know, like I remember being in the rooms with the guys and you know ROR, and I asked them all. It was probably about 35 guys in the room. I said, "How many here want to be saints?" Not a hand went up. And then I said, how many here want to be happy? Every hand went up. You know, so I said, well, you want to be saints. A saint, is someone that Christ shines through. It's our highest good. It's being united with his heart. It's having that peace, joy, love that we don't find in the worldliness and in a syringe, a bottle, a pill. Only in the Lord, you know. Our hearts rejoices in the Lord our Savior. But, yeah. Anyway, we got time to go on to John of Avila?
We do. And
right.
So, St. John of Avila, born in the year 1500. We're not sure exactly what day it was, but he would die on May the 10th in the year 1569. He was born in the Castile region of Spain. And at the age of 14, he went to the University of Salamanca to study law and later moved to Alcala, where he would study philosophy and theology before his ordination as a diocesan priest. After his parents died, they left him a whole bunch of money, left him their fortune, and he would turn around and distribute all that money to the poor. In 1527, he traveled to Seville, and he wanted to become a missionary to Mexico, but like a lot of the saints, what they want to do really doesn't matter. The archbishop of the city asked him to stay and spread the faith right there in Andalusia. He worked there for 9 years and got well known as a preacher, was a perceptive spiritual director, and a wise confessor. One of the things he wasn't afraid to do was to denounce vice in high places. Sounds like almost like a John the Baptist. And as a result, he was investigated by the Inquisition, but cleared in 1533. So I guess the kings and the princes and what have you didn't want to hear from him about the denouncements of their vices, but they didn't succeed in getting rid of him. He would later work in Cordoba and then in Granada, and it was there that he started the University of, I believe it's Baeza, B-A-E-Z-A, which was the first of many colleges run by diocesan priests who would dedicate themselves to teaching and giving spiritual direction to young people. He had a list of pretty important people, his friends, St. Francis Borgia, Ignatius of Loyola, John of God, John of the Cross, Peter of Alcantara, and Teresa of Avila. He would work closely with the members of the Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits, to help their growth within Spain and Spain's colonies, and his mystical writings have been translated into several languages. The one that wasn't mentioned here, that pamphlet I showed you the last week, Father, from St. Alphonsus Liguori, he quotes John of Avila a number of times in that uniformity with God's will. Anyway, he was beatified in 1894, canonized in 1970, and declared a doctor of the church on October the 7th in 2012. And his liturgical feast day, I think earlier when we at the top of the show I said it was yesterday, it was actually today. He and Damian of Malachi share the May 10th. So that's St. John of Avila.
Yeah, you mentioned Alphonsus Liguori.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest quotes that I always think about Alphonsus Liguori is when he's out in the world and law and hospitals, he hears three times, leave from Jesus, leave the world, meaning worldliness, leave the world and give yourself to me. And that's what saints do. You know, they're like aliens in the world, and they step up into the kingdom. Saints inspire saints. You mentioned all those saints, and one of the big ones I liked was, well, Teresa of Avila, of course, but John of God, who's a patron of alcoholics. And he heard a sermon that John of Avila gave, and John of God. And in that sermon, John of Avila said, we must be fools for Christ. And he took that to heart, and he laughed. And he didn't make himself a fool for Christ. He made himself to appear like a lunatic for Christ. He started acting crazy and doing things, dirty in his face, you know. And they actually wind up putting him in an asylum. And John of God heard about this, and he went to visit him. He said, listen, you know, what you're doing is wrong. First of all, you're all about yourself. He really reamed him out. You're all about yourself. Everybody got to take care of you. and people are feeding you. You're not working. You're not doing anything. And you're not insane. You're not a lunatic. And you got to go back out and start helping people and doing things and giving back that way. And that was the change in him. And, of course, John of God was on the road to sanctity himself. But his sermons were so powerful. He was eloquent, Ken. They could, you know, look at him and hear Jesus speaking through him. And it was a young priest that came up to him and said, "Why are you such a good preacher?" And this was his reply. He said, "The only way that he knew was to love God very much. Love God very much." That's how he prepared his homilies. And I think about when you love God, you keep his commandments. You go the extra mile. You love your neighbor. You go out and you help people. And you bring Jesus to people, especially those who are in the darkness the most. And when you do all these things, it's like you're preparing yourself for homilies. I remember as a seminarian, it was always, you know, my greatest fear was giving homilies. I didn't, you know, stand in front of people and all that. But yet I said, the best way I'm going to prepare for homilies is the way I live. It's the way we live and what we believe. And that's what comes out of our homilies. You know, and that's what came out of his homilies. He loved the Lord. He gave himself to the Lord. He left the world. He lived the gospel, the whole gospel. And he can preach and freely and proclaim the word of God because he lived it. It's hard to get up there and proclaim something that you're not living. And saints, they could proclaim it freely because they speak with conviction. So, that kind of touched me when the young priest said, "How do you become such a good preacher?" He said, "The only way that I know is to love God very much. Love God very much is to unite us with him, to abide with him, follow him, remain in him, and then it's God himself, Jesus himself, preaching through his priest in persona Christi."
Amen. And God knows how much we need our priests, especially in this day and age, and hopefully we'll need even more as people come back to the faith in the coming weeks and months and years, regardless of what drives them back. But Lord knows we need more priests. And speaking of which, we have an ordination coming up in here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, I think two Saturdays from now on the 20th. And so they ask you to keep those gentlemen in your prayers as God confers on them through Archbishop Perez, the ordination into the priesthood, and help them to be good, solid priests in persona Christi as they minister to we lay Catholics here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Hey, got just a minute left, Father. Anything before we get your blessing?
Yeah. Again, you know, we look at all these saints, you know, that we do, Ken, saints and sinners, and how they change, and, you know, just how they embrace the gospel and keep his commandments, and the Lord reveals himself, and they go on fire. And, you know, we're all called that way. You know, like I think our Lord said, "I come to set a fire, and I wish it were blazing." And that's where it blazes, in those who leave the world, worldliness, and they give themselves to Jesus. And like Paul, "I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me." But you say it so right, Ken. We need holy priests, priests in persona Christi, you know, and to give their lives to Jesus. And there's no greater joy than that, you know, that he reveals himself. And the world can't give you that, you know. The pleasures can't give you that. When you have that joy, there's an excitement in the heart. There's a infusion of his love. There's the touch of his divine glory, you know. It's just... I'm staggering for words here, but we need holy priests, and the way we become holy is to keep his commandments, take all the means of the church, do what he tells us, listen to us. He reveals himself. Then I know him, and when I know him, I love him, and when I love him, I'll serve him. There'll be works of unction, not function, not out of duty, but out of love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, your blessing upon us all, especially those who are to be ordained new deacons, new priests, those who are consecrated life. Lord, make our hearts one with yours. Let that fire burn within us, that we may receive you and give you to the world. And all those listening, all those who are sick and suffering, especially Patrick and all those who are suffering with addiction, set us free, Lord, all free, by the power of your graces and transforming love. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our guests, for our listeners, our guest is already on the line for the 5 o'clock hour, Dr. Daniel Mahoney, and we'll be talking about Cardinal Menzenti. Don't go away. We'll be right back.